You're listening to the Weekend Real Estate Report on 105.7 The Fan.
You do a great job here giving the audience quite a bit of information. For a lot of guys like me, I'm sure a lot of females have certainly been enlightened and informed to help their life a little bit better. So keep up the good work.
Once again, Carl Delmont.
All right, we are back. In this final segment, Mark, I want to talk a little bit about market data because, you know, let's be honest, it changes all the time. You know, it's almost like people call us, say, what are rates? Well, depends. What are you trying to accomplish? And if they call back tomorrow, what are rates? Well, it changed twice yesterday. I mean, especially in today's market right now, we see some volatility. You know, I was talking on another radio show about, I feel, never met the guy, but I feel pretty badly for Jerome Powell, the new Fed chairperson, because he kind of inherited a bit of a conundrum here with what's going on the economy. They're just some green shoots to go back to like the 2008 terminology. But there's some other things where we're starting to hear a lot more of the R word coming up from some economists. And I've been saying this for about a year now. I kind of think we'll see a recession by the latter part of 2018, worst case 2019, only because I always use this sort of metaphor. When the government comes in and tries to mess with natural occurrences, like a weather machine, so to speak, you're going to create other things. You know, people can argue about climate change, was it man-made, all the other things. But, you know, when you come in and you mess with the markets with QE, you know, you're creating an atmosphere of artificial stimuli. And at some point, you have to pay for that. And it could be painful for a short period of time, and then things get better. It could be painful for an elongated period of time, you know, but we've never been in this situation before. This isn't like the Great Depression, which in and of itself was a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. We are now almost near the longest expansion since the Depression, but it depends on how you look at it. So that being said, you know, are people rushing to buy now because they're afraid rates are going up, or are people sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what happens? What are you seeing out there? And then let's talk about actual market data that you're seeing.
Yeah. Well, and we get the same kinds of questions first. You know, the question that we get is now a good time to sell, or is now a good time to buy? And it comes with the same kinds of questions that you're talking about. Like, it depends. It depends what you're looking to do, what your short-term plans are, what your long-term plans are. But we are starting to see, you know, such fragmented sections of the market, meaning it's not just breaking things down into a hyper localized market where you're looking at just neighborhoods. It's also looking at price points. Price points within the neighborhoods represent different markets in and of itself. You know, there was an interesting article maybe about a month ago in the Baltimore Sun, where they came out and said, you know, 2017, the Baltimore market was up a little over 6%. The housing market was up over 6%. So, you know, what that meant to all of my clients and folks that I sit down and meet with to discuss the sale of their home is everyone thought that their home went up 6%.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, I don't think that happened at all. I think if you look at a stat like that, what it really tells us is that on average, the homes that sold in 2017, the average sales price was 6% higher. That's it. So,
and again, that's typically either a regional or a national number. So it's not reflective.
But that was Baltimore City.
So yeah, but Baltimore City, I mean, again, you could look at Canton versus, say, Irvington.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it doesn't mean that just because you live in the city. Again, we talked about the blocks and everything else, but even these national numbers, you know, I make it akin to when you look at, you know, Freddie Mac survey on rates comes out. Well, they poll everyone on Tuesday and they publish it on Thursday. Well, when they got done polling on Tuesday, the numbers weren't accurate because of volatility. So you have to take all these things with a grain of salt. I just had a text while we're talking, and someone just said, hey, how do I find the value of my house? Should I check out Zillow? And I'm like, no, I'll send you a link for something that's more accurate.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Or call us.
Yeah.
That, you know, and we get that comment all the time. Zillow doesn't come into your house to evaluate the condition and the upgrades. One of the things we're seeing, you know, what we look at to kind of define whether we're in a buyer's market or a seller's market, in a lot of ways, we look at inventory, because inventory does kind of give us that indication of supply. Demand is a lagging indicator. And so what we look at for like a balanced market, to say that we're in a balanced market, is if there is a 6-month inventory level of mm-hmm. homes. So what that means is if no other home came on the market, there's enough supply on the market that the demand would eat it up in 6 months.
Yeah. When you look back at like, say, 2000, I'd say maybe 9, 10. We were looking at about 11 and a half month supply. Right now, nationwide, I think we're about a 4 month.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
And so let's say Baltimore, like you said, Baltimore City, which is your, I guess, preferred area.
Well, Baltimore City, Baltimore County. We do a lot in Baltimore County and even in Howard and Harford.
So what are we looking at in Baltimore City?
Well, honestly, because of how hyper-localized those markets are, we don't even, you know, if you're interested to know what the Baltimore as a whole is, the Baltimore Sun will be happy to report that. That's the softball that they'll provide. What we do is actually we dig down into more of the trenches of the neighborhoods that we specialize in, and we look at how those neighborhoods, those individual neighborhoods, are being treated. And, you know, some of the data I think is pretty interesting. Like, for example, in the Canton area, you know, the unit change, the number of homes that sold in the month of January of 2017 was down 40% compared to 2016. And it was the first major difference in inventory levels or homes sold since the recession from 2011. It was 7 years. But we talk about you asked the question about inventory levels. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at a neighborhood like Canton, for example, and if you have a home that's over $600,000, and, you know, really for the most part, it's 600 to a million. There certainly are homes over a million.
I bought my first house in Canton for $32,000.
Yeah, well, there's quite a bit. But so right now, though, we have a 15-month inventory level of homes that are $600,000 and over.
But that's a percentage in Canton of homes that are 600 plus. What does that represent?
There's 25 homes on the market right now.
No, not on the market, just in general. Value.
It's a small percentage.
Okay, so that would explain why. If it's a small percentage, you're probably going to see it.
Well, I mean, look, it's the highest we've seen in the past 12 months of tracking. I mean, just to put it in perspective, this time a year ago, we had 3.8 months supply on the market. So, and it has been a steady increase since then. So it's not just because of
what,
the price.
What are you seeing in the city now? Let's talk about Canton, Federal Hill, Fells Point, those areas. Are you seeing a increase in millennials wanting to come back down there? And what about people who bought, you know, in their early 20s and now have kids who are getting to be school age? Are they looking to move to the county for better schools? What kind of trends are you seeing in that regard?
Well, I feel like I could have a whole segment on just that. You know, the, you know, 10 years ago, there was no time, there was very few, families that were staying put. I think from the recession that took place, it created an environment where people had to make the decision. If we were going to start a family, we have to be downtown, you know, 'cause we can't move, we can't afford to move. So the family dynamic really has taken off a lot downtown. And, so we don't see as many people flee the city when they have kids, but there still is a pretty good percentage of families once they have kids, they're out to the county. Mm-hmm. It's still a pretty hot spot for young professionals, millennials right out of college or, you know, in their 20s and 30s. You know, the 600,000 and up market, though, is typically more reflective of
your
empty nesters who are in the county moving down into the city. And I think part of the problem that we're seeing is that there are less people willing to do that right now with some of the more recent events that have been taking place downtown. And that you know, we've seen it personally within our own business. And I think, you know, even a story like seeing that there's 15 months supply might lend a hand to telling that story.
Yeah, I have friends who own businesses, restaurants, bars down in the city, and they said that things really haven't, they've been off for a while. The Freddie Gray riots hurt, obviously. Mm-hmm. Some other things that are going on down there, you know, some, well, I don't know what you call it, a crime spree or whatever, but there was a bunch of media attention down in the harbor of, you know, crash and run robberies, things like that. A friend of mine even told me that a few weeks ago, a guy was walking out of a bar at like 11 o'clock at night. Car jumped up, came out, hit the guy in the head with a gun and took his wallet and watch and jumped back in the car and left. And this is in front of a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can see and whether, you know, I'm saying this secondhand because I didn't verify with cops. I'm just telling what friends have told me. But, you know, those are the things that whether real or perceived, those stories permeate and it does create some trepidation about people deciding,
yeah,
do I want to go down there? And it's when you're young, you think you're invincible. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, it's cool. It's part of the charm. I remember when I bought down in Canton, You know, my in-laws came by and looked, or future in-laws, and, you know, helicopter flies overhead, police cars are flying down the other street, and like, you really want to live here? I'm like, yeah, that's part of the charm, you know. Then literally 5 years later, I'm out in the middle of the country thinking, okay, look, there's a deer, there's a fox, you know, there's no neighbors. That's part of the charm.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's why I think the city, the market has been relatively good from the standpoint of the number of units that sell, because it is still a very transient area. You know, people move in for a time in their lives when being in the part of the city life is a key part of their life. And then that changes. And mm-hmm. we also have a lot of, educational institutions too, that are bringing people in for short periods of time, you know, somewhere between 3 and 7 years, and then they move on. So we see a lot of cyclicality of just homes being sold over and over. But, you know, I do want to, you know, we talked about the 600,000 and mm-hmm. up. That's not most of the market in a neighborhood like Canton. And it's a very different story when you look at the homes between 200 and 300 and 300 and 400. It's we're looking at inventory levels below 4 months, approaching 3 months, and it's been pretty steady in that way for the past year.
And with competition like this, we stress over and over again. I know for regular listeners, sound like a broken record, but the importance of a pre-approval versus a pre-qualification. Because if a seller is looking at 5 offers and 4 of them are pre-approvals, pre-quals, if the 5th is a pre-approval, even if it's for a tad less money, a savvy agent is going to say, look, this one's going to close. They've already been vetted. All we need is the house to appraise. That could be really that, and the inspection could be really the only major problem short of him quitting his job. Sure. So a lot of people don't realize that. They're like, oh, let's make an offer. Let's pay more. You don't necessarily have to pay more if you have a solid approval from a trusted lender. So that's important as well.
Well, on that note too, I mean, what I tell people all the time is, you know, having that letter that you're talking about before you walk into a house, it gives you a level of confidence that if you like what you see behind the door, that you can take actionable steps forward to do something about it, not take steps backwards to try to figure it all out. Mm-hmm. And that time right there is many times the difference of you being able to get a house and
correct.
Not. So, you know,
the market's different. You know, to people who brag, I've been in this business 40 years. Yes, but what have you done the last 3? Because if you haven't done much in the last 3, all that experience before is tossed out the window. It's almost like, you know, a CEO has said, I've been to job forever, but he doesn't know how to use social media or how to use Excel or things like that. That's a problem because the market has changed, the world has changed. So there's some interesting things that, you know, for people to think about. All right. I'll tell you what, we're kind of running out of time here, but I'd like to invite you back and talk some more about this market data on another show. So sure. We'll do talk off air and get you back in here. I do want to thank our sponsors, Ristorante Firenze, right there in the heart of historic Reisterstown, homemade authentic pasta and so much more. Ron Bowen, Mr. Power Wash and Paint Doctor. And of course, Deli Ish, the authentic deli right there on Wise Avenue in Dundalk. And of course, Fremont Mortgage. If you need a no cost, no obligation, pre-approval, give us a call at 800-955-8508 or on our website at Fremont, REEDMONT.com, NMLS number 1067. Also, collegefundingassociates.com. Check them out if you're thinking about planning for college or want to understand how the FAFSA forms work. And it's never really too late. I mean, much better if you're calling when your child is maybe a year old versus when maybe they're a senior in high school, but they can still help you in those regards. And also, we just wanted to say thank you to Bruce Cunningham over at Fox 45, Glenn Graham at the Baltimore Sun, and Jamie Costello at WMAR for covering our club, Baltimore Celtic, for signing day. We had a record number of kids commit to colleges. We have a bunch more who are just still deciding on offers, haven't signed yet. But on signing day for such a not a very large club, we had a record amount of kids commit to going to college. A lot of D1 schools, D2, D3, and absolutely amazing. And we had some great press coverage. Really proud of our families and kids. And tryouts are coming up soon. So as one kid told me, he goes, man, I feel like I'm signing a pro contract here with all the things we had going on. And I want to thank Larry Proper and Colin Dunn at the CBS, or I guess it's CBS, Intercom Radio, for helping us out as well. Anyway, trials coming soon. Check out BaltimoreCeltic.com for that information. And if you need Mark, you can reach out to him. We'll put up his information on our Facebook page. If you need us, again, Fremont, FREEDMONT.com. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Thanks for listening.